Fast Fila 61. Today we're going to talk a little bit about Tfila. We haven't done that in a while. We've been talking about Yitzchak. So now we're going to talk a little bit about Tfila. And then we're going to talk about Yaakov. So we will do that. The Ravkovsky explains this week that the Tfila Social Yitzchak HaKravas Korban. That the tefillah of Yitzchak is basically the offering of a sacrifice. Kefishin is bar b'midoso shel Avraham. Just as we learned about Avraham, shehayos v'hamida shedavak ba, hi haysa hadavar sheba retza lihishtalem. The mida that he fastened himself to, the midah that became the focus of his life, was the thing that he wanted to fulfill through his tefillah. Umemela hatefillah shelo, his amdus shelo kechaser b'fnei haborehi b'inyan zeh. Bakashas hachesed b'tachlis. Whoa, what's he talking about here? The Maharal explains that the reason why tefillah is necessary is because we have to make ourselves a kli, a vessel, that is able to accept the blessing of Hashem. The Maharal asks, why should we have to pray? What's the purpose of prayer? Basically, if the thing is coming to us, then we should get it anyway. And even if we don't pray, and if we do pray, then what's the point if it's not something that we've earned? If it's not something, do we say there's no such thing as schar v'onesh? So the Maharal is a very interesting answer. The Maharal says that basically things run based on schar v'onesh. We have to earn the things that we get, or Hashem has to want to give it to us for some other reason, or maybe it helps us fulfill our tafkid in life. But after all of that is said and done, you still have to pray. You still have to pray. Because prayer opens up, so to speak, your hands so that you can get the thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give us all the stuff we want, but if we don't have, if our hands are not cupped to be able to take it, He can give and give and give and give, but we're not ready to accept. The act of tefillah is basically to prepare ourselves, to make ourselves attached to Hashem, and to make ourselves ready to get the blessing of Hashem. Okay? Longer discussion for a different time. But that's what the Maharal says. The Maharal says, Rav Verkovsky says here, that the thing that was the essence of Avraham, which was, in his case, wanting to see chesed, wanting to be chesed, wanting chesed to be in the world, that was the subject of his tefillah. His tefillah was a bakoshas chesed. He wanted to break through the boundaries, to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu involved with him, to have himself involved with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kach tfiloso shel Yitzchak, tova'as din. Just as Avraham asked Hashem for chesed, so Yitzchak asked Hashem for judgment. It's very hard to understand this character of Yitzchak that we've been talking about and we've been reading about in the Parshios. Yitzchak tava yisurim. Chazal tell us that Yitzchak said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bring it on. Punish me for the things that I've done wrong. Judge me by the letter of the law. I want to be fully judged. I want to be fully punished. I want to be able to be completely meritorious in your eyes. I'm not looking for your chesed. I'm not looking for handouts. I only want the things that I've deserved, and if I've done something wrong, I wish to be punished. Tfiloso hi betachlis hayira. The tefillah of Yitzchak was the essence of his fear of standing, his feeling of standing right before God. Mesiris nefesh, bechinas korban. Yitzchak had no personal interests. His only interest was that judgment should be carried out in the world. And if that meant that he had to give up his soul to Hashem, he was ready to do it. That's what it means, that Yitzchak stood the test of the Akedah. Hard to understand such a level. that someone who said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you want to take me, take me. I'm not asking for your mercy. Yitzchak doesn't beg for mercy with his back on the Mizbeach at the Akedah. Yitzchak says, if that's what's supposed to happen, then let it happen. Let Din come into the world. Let Yisurim come into the world if that's what has to happen to me. He has no questions. He has no questions. Yitzchak zacha b'midas ha'avoda. The Maharal explains at the beginning of his commentary on Pirkei Avos that Yitzchak was zoche to the mida of avoda. That's the Mishnah there talks about the fact that the world stands on three things: Torah, avoda, and gemilas chasadim. Who was each one of those is one of the avos. It's backwards. Torah is Yaakov, gemilas chasadim is Avraham, and Yitzchak is avoda. What did Yitzchak do to become synonymous with avoda, with service of Hashem? Sharei hikriv atzmo al gabi mizbeach. He offered himself up on the mizbeach. Ki b'shvil ha'akeda ha'avoda el Hashem yisparach. It was because of this akeda, the service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mipnei ki Yitzchak hikriv atzmo el Hashem yisparach. Yitzchak said, don't worry about me. Do whatever you have to do. If this is going to help God in his world, I'll give up my life. Ulufikach ikar ha'avoda hi li Yitzchak she'ikriv atzmo.
But you're making it sound like he was an adult.
He was an adult.
He was?
He was. According to Rashi, at the end of last week's Parsha, he was an adult. If in fact, Sarah dies at the beginning of this week's Parsha, at the age of 127, right? According to Chazal, she died because she heard about what happened at the Akedah and she had a heart attack. So if she's 127, she gave birth to him when she was 90. So that would make him 37. Very different story, the story of the Akedah. It would probably not be called Akedas Yitzchak if he wasn't part of it. We always think of that as the greatest test of Avraham. But the reality is, it's a pretty big test of Yitzchak too, right? But that was the nature of Yitzchak. Okay, be'akedaso, when he was bound up, hinchil Yitzchak lezaro es inyan hakarbanos. So he now was able to pass along to his children the idea of karbanos, ha'avoda shel mesiras nefesh. Now we're all familiar with the idea that a korban expresses the idea that this could have been me, this should have been me. Right? Or even if it doesn't express that in such graphic terms, it's my object, it's my property, and Hashem says he wants it, here, take it. Right? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Right? B'shar sha'akad Avram Avinu es Yitzchak b'no. The Medrash tells us that it was at the moment that God bound up Yitzchak, hiskin HaKadosh Baruch Hu shnei kvasim, echad shel shachris ve'echad shel arvis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, from now on, there's going to be one sacrifice in the morning and one in the evening. Shebishah shayu Yisrael makrivin tamid al gabi amizbeach. Because when the Jewish people will offer a sacrifice on the altar, the korin hamikra hazet sefuna lifnei Hashem, and they remind me of this, they remind me of what happened, zocher HaKadosh Baruch Hu akedas Yitzchak. Okay, this is something that sounds to us almost a little bit Christological. This idea that Yitzchak was willing to sacrifice himself. And later, we won't have to sacrifice ourselves. We'll just get to offer animals. There was one human being that was asked to give up his life. He was willing to do it. He didn't have any children yet. If he was actually killed at that time, we wouldn't be here. But we talked about last week how he continued to live, but he really wasn't himself. He sort of went through a near-death experience at that moment. From then on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I see that it's within a Jew that he or she would be willing to give themselves up. You will now pass this. It's a fascinating idea. You will now pass this in the gene pool to all of your descendants. And therefore, because it's part of your gene pool, Because I know that deep down, there's a piece of you that would be willing to give yourself up. You can use the korban in your place. If the whole thing was a joke, this is in my place. Yeah, don't ask me, but if you want to take the animal, that's okay. That wouldn't be enough. But Yitzchak hinchil levanav, he's able to then pass down this idea to his children, this thing, this gene to his children, the willingness to sacrifice for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer asks us to make that level of sacrifice, but to do symbolically, to offer a korban at that point. Ukeshem she'avodas mizbeach karuya avoda, kach tefila karuya avoda. And just like working at the altar itself is called avoda, so too prayer today, the prayer is also called avoda. So we take three steps. Yitzchak actually did it. Yitzchak was actually willing to give up his life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In place of it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, I'm not going to ask everybody to do that, but they should at least sacrifice an animal, giving up something which is theirs, imagining that they're giving up their life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it's sacrificed. But now we don't even have that. So now what do we have? Tefillah. Tefillah? Really? Who came up with that great idea that today we don't have to offer sacrifices? You know, it's expensive to give lambs and cows and goats. And so today I don't have to bring a sacrifice. I don't have to go through that harrowing experience of watching an animal be killed. I don't have to deal with the blood. I don't have to deal with the whole thing. I just have to daven mincha. So how is that? So explains Rav Rakovsky, Zehu Tfilosa, we hinted at this last week. Zehu tfilosho shel Yitzchak, hakrava, mesiris nefesh shel hamispalel lagavo. To offer yourself, when you step forward in prayer, to offer yourself up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a sacrifice. Tzurata akeda. Dugmas ma shemaskim im libo bekivun raglav batfila. And this is why, he explains, we put our legs together when we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki'ilu raglav kivulim. As if his legs were in chains. Ein cheftzo talui ba'atzmo. It's not my decision whether I can move or I can't move. I'm frozen in this spot. Ve'atam bazeh hu laharos bitol koach atzmo. Ki'ilu yadov asuros. For whom mufar ota lami. Lamisha Mishan and I love. I forgot what the real word is there. But Musa Moser Ota. And he's Moser himself to the one he prays before. When we stand before God motionless, when we stand before God with our feet together, we are, so to speak, doing exactly what Yitzchak did at the Akedah. Now, I would much rather be davening in the Beis Medrash in YU, Mincha, than have my back on some Mizbeach with my father holding a knife over my head. So there's no doubt that the level of the reality of feeling this way has changed a lot over time. But I would challenge you beyond what Rav Rakovsky says here. Have you ever not been in the mood to daven, but davened anyway? Have you ever forgotten to daven Ma'ariv and been halfway to sleep and gotten back up to daven Ma'ariv? Have you ever been in shul and you really wanted to leave because the hour's getting late and the davening's schlepping out, or because you might think you're not going to miss the traffic and all this kind of stuff like that and you have to get out, and instead you keep yourself placed in shul in one place? That's the Akedah. When you put your feet together and you have no better place to be, when you put your feet together and you're more than happy to stand there, it's not really much of a sacrifice. Your feet are bound because you're holding them together, but you could just the same separate them and do whatever you want. But when you don't want to be standing there right then, When you want to be somewhere else, that rotten tefillah that you pray, which you had no kavana on, and you just race through it because you're half asleep, half at night, and you got up and you put on sweatpants and you stood and you davened Shemoneh Esrei, you're standing there because you know you're owed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're standing there because you know you're caught in your place. You can't move your legs. You want to move your legs. You want to walk away. You want to be somewhere else, but you stay put. That's the sacrifice. That's the sacrifice of tefillah. And hopefully most of the time, tefillah doesn't feel that way. And hopefully most of the time, you don't feel like you're stuck in that place and you'd rather be somewhere else. But at the time that you're davening the least meaningful tefillos, the times when you just don't want to be standing there and you're actually mimicking someone who is tied up and put in their place. And that is a bittul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu too. That tefillah also has tremendous meaning. It doesn't mean necessarily that's the only way to be mevatel ourselves during tefillah. We can also be mevatel ourselves in tefillah by standing very still and bowing our heads and admitting that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the more that tefillah feels like something I have to do, the more that it's avoda. The more it feels like something I want to do, I feel like a little bit more, at least myself, I feel like I'm channeling Avram Avinu a little bit more. I'm there with my loved one. I'm there and I'm enjoying it and I just want to be there. But there are times that we don't want to be there. There are times that we're there only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so. That is also meaningful in and of itself. That's meaningful in and of itself. In fact, that may be the two different opinions of the Gemara in Brachos, whether the tefillah were established by the Avos and it was just a relationship that the Avos had with Hashem, or that could be the second opinion, that it was established to correspond to Karbanos. But even within the Avos, this is the role of Yitzchak. Kan mitpatet, he said, midas hayira betachlis, his kavtzus, the his kansus, shel haguf, letoch atzmo ad bitulo. This is the ultimate bittul of oneself, that I stand and I'm like, coming into myself, I like make myself as little as possible. Right? I make myself as little as possible. There are many who daven like this, put their hands like this. I often do this when I daven. Also, tied up, hands tied, so to speak, like this. All of that is this feeling of standing before a Kadosh Baruch Hu with fear and with a recognition that even if I'm not sacrificing my life, even if I'm not sacrificing my animal, I'm ready and I'm sacrificing 5 minutes. And you know what? That's a sacrifice too, to be willing to stand still. In today's world, more than ever, the willingness to stand still for a couple of minutes, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do it. Tfilaso shel Yitzchak is mincha. But even before he gives his explanation, I think there's something else you could say about why it is mincha, because there is no other tefillah that we have less time for or we don't have the patience for as mincha. The whole idea of mincha is that we stand still, is that we stop. In the morning, we haven't started yet. At night, we're pretty much done. But mincha tends to fall out in the middle of the workday, especially if you think of the workday as being out in the fields. Mincha falls out in the middle of the day. I stop. Why would anyone stop? Why would anyone pull out if you have somebody and they're in a meeting and they're trying to close a deal and they say, sorry, I need to take a couple of minutes off. Why would somebody stop in the middle of their own interests and their own pursuits? Because really, I am a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? It's mincha that's the toughest tefillah to daven. It requires us to stop. Stopping is not just proverbially stopping, it's staying in place. It's tying my arms, it's tying my legs. It's saying that even though for the rest of the day I act like I'm a free person, I have to remember that really, I'm really just a servant of HaKadosh Baruch. I'm really batel to HaKadosh Baruch. And that's the power of Mincha. Really just to take a moment to pull away from our day and to remember it's not our day completely. It's not our time completely. We're not in charge. And finally, he says, Tfilasov Shal Yitzchak Mincha. Hisbar Shizmana Mincha. Now he says in a much more metaphysical way. The time of Mincha, Huzman Hisma'atus Vihiskansus Ha'or. The whole world is shutting down as we get close to the end of the day. Not just the person who pulls away from the business meeting, but the light, the activity in the fields, everything is pulling back, is pulling into itself. It was so vibrant. It was so out there at the middle of the day. As the sun begins to set, the world begins to diminish itself. What's left? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tchilas Shilton HaChashecha, the darkness comes in. Habriyav Habriyos Shavim L'menuchasam. And basically the world goes back to sleep. The world goes back to sleep. The world shuts down. Why does the world shut down? Because to show the comparison to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the contrast to HaKadosh Baruch Hu never shuts down. Zman Asiyas Chesben HaNefesh, HaHimasrus L'dino Shel Borei. I do a Chesben HaNefesh. I recognize my limits. I recognize that I'm not here forever. I'm aware of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one really in charge. V'achar Chatzi Hayom, says the Gra, Hu Yisparach Dorei Shosam, V'hem Onim B'yira Asinu Masha Tzivisa Aleinu. The Gra says, explaining a pasuk in Eov, that after the second half of the day, people have to start accounting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what they did with their time. It looks like in the morning, just like in the morning of our lives, that you have endless time. It's going to be an endless day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. I can get so much done. By 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you realize it's not endless. And not only that, but at the end of the process, I'm going to have to give an accounting for everything that I did in the meantime. Zman ha'ischalta de paranusa churban beis hamigdash. We're heading into judgment. The beginning of the beis hamigdash was destroyed at that time. Da'as l'navon kal. Nakel. Sorry. It's easy for a very smart person to understand. Interesting phrase. He uses a lot. Inyan hisyachas uzman l'tfilos o'sha Yitzchak. We understand that the world is functioning like Yitzchak. The world is shying away. The world is shutting down in the face of something larger that's coming. That's the Zman HaMincha in the afternoon. V'yesh lahavchin od. We can further say, Mincha means a doron. What is a mincha? A mincha is a present, something that I give away. It's a korban. The whole name of the prayer is what I have to relinquish, what I have to give up. The whole idea of mincha is to acknowledge that I have to give up. I'm nothing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to stop. I have to give an accounting. Tikon tfilasi lecha ketores ma'aseis kapei minchas erev lo yikshe l'mispon. And it's not difficult to understand how this connects to the tefillah of Yitzchak. Finally, v'tiken Yitzchak tfilas mincha shehi achar chatzos hayom v'hi hashlamas ha'olam. The Maharal says further, mincha was established by Yitzchak in the afternoon, which is the end of the day. And it mimics, it refers to not just the end of our days, the end of our lives, but the end of time. Within every single day, getting up in the morning, flourishing, and then diminishing and disappearing, that's the story of our day. That's the story of our life. That's the story of the life of the world. Hashlama sa'ola minyana lefimiyot hasagaseinu. What does it mean? It's the completion of the world. Habriya kula miskaneses umiskareves vechozeres l'shorsha. Everything goes back to its source. Everything goes back to its source. When we die, we basically go back to the one that we spent our whole lives trying to pretend that we were independent of. Birth is the creation of something that seems to have its own independent life force, energy, free choice, outside of God. Death is when that mirage, when that falsehood is proven to be just that. There really is nothing outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There really is nothing compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nimseres hu liyadav shel HaBorei Yisbarach, and we give it back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a neshama, and it's given back to him at the end of our life. Right? That's all death is. Death is a return to the source. Right? This thing which looked like, right? We say that we are afar, and we return to afar. Well, we don't look like afar for 120 years. We look like we're stomping on the afar. We look like we're independent. We look like we've escaped the afar. We look like we're independent. Hey, we're not attached to anything. At the end, everything returns to its source. Depressing, but also uplifting in the sense that when we die, we return to our place as part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hama'oros ha'kol gegulein b'meshach hashis alfin shnin. This is true for the 6,000 years. Ho'klin likrat menuchatam. Right? The rabbis tell us in Sanhedrin that just as the week has 6 days and the seventh day of Shabbos, the world is going to have 6,000 years, getting pretty close, and then is going to be Shabbos. What's going to be Shabbos? The time that we recognize that everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The 6,000 years of history is one long history of people pretending that they're more powerful than God, pretending they don't need God, pretending they're independent from God. Comes the year 7,000, 6,000, everything will be clear. Everything will be returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Habriya nimseres ledino hagadol shel HaBaruch. We say there's going to be an ultimate judgment, right? When everything is returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's judged. Nosen is din v'cheshben al mifala. And it's given a judgment about how it functioned. That's true at the end of every day. That's true at the end of every year. It's probably true at the end of every week, every month, every life, and the existence of the world as a whole. There are these time periods where we spring into action and then we go back. It makes it very understandable what Chazal tell us, this idea that sleep is 1/60th of death. What is the common denominator between sleep and death? It's exactly the same thing. You start in the morning and you got all this energy and then as it gets later, you have less energy and things start to ache and you don't see so well and then you stop. Every day is a microcosm for our life. And every life is a microcosm for the creation of the world till the end of the world. And mincha represents those periods right before the end when we take an accounting, when we recognize that we're going to now, that the party's over, it's okay, this was the way it was supposed to be, and now we're going to return everything and ascribe it to the right place and be open to the judgment that comes with finishing your job and being evaluated in terms of how you do. Mahalei ha'olam hazeh megia l'siyumo keitz kolchai, the end of all things. Kach b'zeir anpin, so too in a small way, hu inyano shel zman ha'mincha, shebechol yamama, zman tfilos shel Yitzchak. Every afternoon, we should think about the fact that our days are not, that our days are finite. Every afternoon, as we daven mincha, we should realize this sad but important reality that it's true for us, it's true for all of mankind, it's true for every single day. Every single day is a microcosm for the entire history of the world. It's a pretty wild, wild idea. V'kach magdir ha-maharal, he concludes, as inyan shel tfilos keneged tmidin nikravos, tiknum, savar, ki hakiru vel Hashem yisbarach, hu mitzad ki ha'alul hu shav el alato. The Maharal explains that what happens when we pray properly is we return, not literally, when we have a korban, we literally give something back to Hashem. Right? We hand it over to Hashem. What do we do when we pray? We acknowledge, We bring back the source. We recognize that everything is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, including our own life, including our own existence.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. What do the words Bezer Anpin mean?
Bezer Anpin means in a small way. In a small way that we can understand. In a miniature way, in a microcosm. Okay? Shavuot, so zehu akiruv hagomer sheyesh la'olam el Hashem Yisparach, ulekach keneged korban tmidim tiknum, sheyakorban hu moreh sheyaolul shavuot l'ilasa Yisparach. And this is what it means. The Maharal will talk about that more in the next chapter, which we'll eventually get to. We're closing in on chapter 4. That the whole idea of korbanos is to return things to their proper owner. To return things to their proper owner. We're not supposed to think when we're watching the korban go in our place that, oh, I could have died. That's not what we're supposed to think of. We're supposed to say, my owner is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Eventually, I will have to give myself back to my owner. Zehi mid mahus tfiloso hakravoso. I think that's supposed to say shel Yitzchak, which is a mincha, which is a gift for Hashem, which is a sacrifice for Hashem. And now we understand how this flows from the very personality of Yitzchak. Now, tonight's shiur where we finish Yitzchak is very, very depressing. But Yitzchak's existence is one of pachad. Yitzchak's existence is one of recognizing Yisurim and recognizing that without this piece of the puzzle, we're not going to be good servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to get next week to Yaakov and suddenly start feeling much more comfortable again with what we're reading. As I said, we're much happier with the Avraham, which is all good and joy and singing and brownies and everything is wonderful over there. Yitzchak is that counterweight, that there's fear, there's an end to this, there's an accounting, there's a bill to pay for all of this. Real relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not supposed to be either one in isolation. It's supposed to be a combination of the two or a balance of the two. But the three tefillos of the day allow us to inject a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Shachris to be davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if he's a parent and everything's wonderful. And give me all the things you're going to need. I'm going to need to accomplish today. And it's so terrific and everything's before me. Mincha to daven, much more kraut, much more pulled into myself. That feeling of I'm very limited. In front of you, I'm nothing. I'm going to have to eventually account for everything that I did. And the combination of Avraham and Yitzchak is going to lead us next week into the person of Yaakov. And we're mamish doing the Parshios very well here because we're going to head into Parshas Toldos next week. So we'll, right after Toldos. So we're just following at the birth of the Avos. And we'll take it there. Okay, heavy stuff. Heavy stuff. But it's a lot to think about. It's really a lot of powerful stuff, how our day is a microcosm of our life, which is a microcosm for the entire history of the world.
Rabbi Panach, can you repeat the two terms you used? Describe Yitzchak and give me the definitions. Few minutes ago.
One is just why din or zayir anpin.
No.
How would we describe him? A korban, a mincha.
No. Like 2 minutes in your closing statements. You described him using two terms.
Fear.
Okay.
Fear and sacrifice, probably.
And what were the, what's the, those Hebrew words?
Yira, korban, yisurin, which is asking for punishment as necessary.
Okay.
Those are all of his pieces. Again, it's a very, Yitzchak's personality is very hard for us to relate to. And to be quite honest, we're shown the least of it in Sefer Bereishis, right? You don't have a lot of drushes out there about Yitzchak. We're not shown that much of it. It seems even from the presentation in the Chumash that there's so many things to learn from Avram. I mean, so many things with those three parshios of Lech Lecha, Vayera, and Chayisara. There's so many lessons of him. It looks like everything he does we're supposed to learn from. And Yaakov gets the whole second half of Sefer Bereishis. Yitzchak, we have these fleeting glimpses of someone who's hard for us to relate to. Right? He's told in this week's parsha, he's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael because he's like a korban. Are we supposed to be like a korban? Are we like a pure animal that has no blemishes, that has no anything? It's difficult.
From a psychological point of view, how can a child live up to or shine with a father who was
the best guy ever? Yeah, it could very well be. In other words, it could, you know, Yitzchak chose basically as the ultimate introvert. Avraham is the ultimate extrovert. And Yitzchak is the ultimate introvert, even that he pulls literally into himself, which is the words that Rav Rakovsky was using.
Remembering that didn't he just redig?
Yeah. His job was just to keep his father's stuff going in a minimalist fashion and to just get to Yaakov. Yeah. And again, it could very well be that Hashem gives us less of Yitzchak's story because it's hard for a person to really imitate what he was. But we have to include it as a spice in our Judaism, so to speak. We can't have a Judaism that's only about joy and jumping up and down and singing and clapping. And
so do you think that's ultimately what God want? You know, we couldn't have a Yaakov and Avraham and Yitzchak all doing fabulous things, so he had to choose two out of the three?
No, Yitzchak is doing a critically important thing. It's just hard for the average person to really rise to the level of sacrificing himself and his desires and his needs to just become part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that need, the Avraham and Yitzchak, we'll end with this, but Avraham and Yitzchak were these really extreme figures. Because you have to be able to really understand what Yaakov is. Yaakov, as we'll see next week, is a combination of the two. But a combination doesn't mean that you simply blur what both of the extremes were. You need to understand the two colors that came together to make Yaakov, the two extremes that came to make the one. Because our relationship to Hashem has to have the chesed and the singing and the dancing, and it also has to have the accounting and the sacrifice and the, you know, and you can only really create a blend if you understand the two ingredients that went into creating that. So next week we'll try to understand the blend better. Okay.
Thank you so much.
A good night, all. Till next week.
Thank you.